Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to segment two of God Invention Radio. Our guests tonight are Dr. Phil Garland and Brent Chiduba from SurveyMonkey. And before we get started with segment two, just like to make a couple quick announcements. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Of course, United Inventors Association, UIAUSA.org, Inventor's Digest. If you're not a subscriber to the magazine, go on any of the pages on Got Invention and click on the banner and sign up for your subscription and get 33% off the cover price from our banner there on our website. QuickPatents.com and ChinaToWest.com. Thank you very much. And also, Inventors, the United Inventors Association is sponsoring Inventor Pavilions at four shows coming up this spring. The PGA Show, the International Home and Houseware Show, SPREE, which is the largest trade show for the cart and kiosk industry, and the National Hardware Show. This is your chance to exhibit your new product, pitch to the industry experts, and make lots of contacts with executives that can be so difficult to reach. Information for all shows can be found on the UIA website, which is uiausa.org, or you can reach out to Jen Lawler at Jen, J-E-N-L-A-W-L-O-R, at uiausa.org, and she'll be happy to answer your questions. All right. Brent and Phil, thank you for your patience. Let's get back to our show. So I know that inventors get very emotionally attached to their product or their service, but in this case, let's say their product. And they kind of just put blinders on and just keep going and going and going. And sometimes it's scary to face reality of what other people think about your idea. Do you encounter that at all on your side of SurveyMonkey or from your experience prior to working with SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of that part and let Phil jump in if he's got other things. But I think,
great, Brent.
You know, it's actually something we face every day. That's when we, you know, introduce a new feature or roll out a new business plan, we've got to kind of face the music of, are the customers going to buy this or not? And so, as a survey tool company, we find ourselves doing a lot of our own survey work on our own customers, on potential customers, employees, and things like that, to do things like usability testing, concept testing, you know, intercepting someone on our website and asking them if this feature or that feature would be relevant to them. And so, you know, using some of the survey disciplines we have and using our own tool,
that's interesting.
We get to do a lot of that stuff.
That's interesting. You guys are your best customer. You get to listen to every customer and make your survey, make your website and your company great.
We in the internet land, you'll hear our product team saying, "Eat your own dog food," and that's, you know, it's a good way for us to experience the good and bad parts of our tool and great ways to use it.
That makes sense. You have anything to add on that, Phil?
Well, not about composite. I mean, you know, the short of it is that we're sort of inventors too, and so I feel like our perspective about how to help other companies make decisions is derived from our own need to do the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we talked a little bit in segment one about why people use surveys to identify and put together some thought on questions and how people will respond to them. But what is it? Let's just take a step for a second and talk about SurveyMonkey. I'm an inventor. I have a product. I want to set up a survey through your website. What do I need to do to get started?
So it's a very simple
process. You go first, Brent, on the product, and then I'll talk about the.
Okay. All right. So, Brent, you're going to go. You're up first.
Yeah, I'll explain the product, and then Phil can talk about some of the do's and don'ts and pitfalls of kind of how to structure the research. But
okay.
On the product side, we're very easy to find. We have a very catchy name, which has helped the, you know, people kind of remember how to get back to us and find those things. But when people log on or they go to our website, it takes just entering a username and a password and an email address to sign up, and then you have access into the tool. There's, you know, as I had mentioned earlier, different versions of what features are enabled based on which type of account people have, but our pro accounts are $24 a month and our free accounts are free always. And so when someone wants to create a survey, the basic fundamentals of it are logging in, browsing some of the options and tools. We have a lot of resources on question creation. Phil has written a lot of things on our blog about how to get started creating a survey. But it's a very self-service try to make it so that millions of people can use it and interact with it on their own without having to talk to someone to set up their survey for them. But, you know, questions can be added. There's lots of different question types that can be used. People will go in, type in their questions, provide answer choices, and kind of make those selections of what they want the survey to look like. People can do their own branding on a survey if they want to. And so once people log in and kind of experience the what we call the create process of a survey, they'll design that questionnaire or survey for whatever purpose they need, and that's kind of how you get started. After that, it's more collecting responses, and we give people a live website link that they can pass around to whoever they want to take the survey.
Okay.
And from there, it's kind of off the analytics, and I'll let kind of Phil jump in on thinking about how do you create a good survey.
Go ahead, Phil. Phil, you there? Brent?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
I was on mute.
That's all right.
So let's assume that people, you know, have familiarized themselves with the product and sort of understand what it does and how to use it. Most people sit down and start writing questions, right? What kind of service would you like to have in this particular regard? Except that's a little bit backwards. It's got the cart before the horse a little bit, because before you can ask a specific question, you have to sort of parse out your research question into pieces that guide you along. So the questions are just the indicators, the little thermometers that comprise measures of what you're trying to actually do. And so it's helpful to start by thinking about your research question as a series of parts. So let's take this one example. Let's say we were trying to find out whether San Francisco is more liberal than Seattle. Right? So, okay, seems like fair enough. So you might just ask, are you liberal or conservative? And you could be extremely liberal or very conservative, and that's a spectrum. And you might be done. One question survey sounds simple enough. But the
that
problem
would be nice.
Is that liberal. Yeah, right. But the problem is that liberalism, for example, has a bunch of parts. You can be, you know, socially liberal. You can be fiscally liberal, and not have to be both. And so, okay, you think, okay, well, what I really meant was socially liberal, right? Okay, so fine, we're going to stick with that half of the concept. Okay, well, there are a bunch of parts to social liberalism. There's attitudes toward capital punishment. There's attitude toward women's right to choose. There's all sorts of little dimensions for social liberalism that add up to that sort of half of the concept. And then from there, you might say, okay, under what circumstances might you support capital punishment? And then people could list them in an open-ended fashion, or you could offer them a series of closed-ended responses, and that's where it starts to get technical.
Right. Does it matter, Phil? Does it matter what order you put it in?
The questions?
Yeah.
So it depends. If your first question is, given this list of fruit, which is your favorite? And then later on, you might say, what sort of fruit would you like in a smoothie? Well, you're primed, you're psychologically primed to think about the fruit you've just been exposed to when you're answering the smoothie question. So it sort of depends. The most famous example of this is the presidential approval question. The question just before this every day for Gallup is, what's the most important problem facing the nation? And if you think the economy or the war or what have you is the most important problem, then in turn, you judge the president on that issue. So there's a well-established order effect in that regard. So it depends whether or not your two questions are sort of dependent on each other. But
okay.
Let's assume for now that we don't have any order effects, but you're left with designing a survey that has closed-ended questions. You like to offer people closed-ended questions. And you'll say to yourself, well, what sort of response options do I need? And most people tend to veer toward this agree-disagree format, which I'm sure all the listeners, Brent and I and yourself, Brian, have probably seen before. It's a statement, you know, how interested are you in having a coffee maker at the office? Or excuse me, I am interested in having a coffee maker at the office, and then you'd say, well, I agree strongly, or I agree somewhat or slightly, and disagree with the same response options. The problem with that approach is twofold. Number one, typically people present these in these grids where you have the response options, agree, disagree, in 7 columns or 11 columns across the top, or 8 columns in all sorts of different ways, and then you have the statements down the side, so you can catch all with a bunch of statements. And that actually sends a message to respondents that says, here's 10 rows and 7 columns. Well, of these 70 dots, could you fill out 10 of them? Because I need you to get through this. And so the second problem is that when you ask people to agree or disagree with something, we all have a tendency to be polite, respectful, and agreeable, particularly to someone who's asked you to do a survey.
Right,
and so all the answers get, you get pushed toward yes. So you're inflating the yes and agree answers by doing that, and that really sort of murks up the data and isn't really helpful for decision making. So that's sort of the one, the first sort of block of issues that affect people's surveys. And I can do more, but I'm not sure if you want to stop and
We have about 30 seconds left or so. I'm just thinking,
okay.
You know what I'm thinking, Phil and Brent? So many times, I mean, by now, all my friends and family, everybody just tells me exactly like it is. But you're an inventor and you have an idea and you're going around showing your product with the sweet face on. How can people say no to you? So this is just a great way to just kind of put it out there. But then the question is, I'm the one that's doing the survey. Are they going to still feel, you know, it's not face to face. Now it's online or something like that. Are they still going to be able to answer honestly? So that'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah, we can talk about that on the next segment.
Excellent. All right. So we have Dr. Phil Gartland, VP of Methodology, and Brent Chiduba. He's the VP of Business Strategy from SurveyMonkey. Happy to have them on our show tonight, giving us all the answers that we need for preparing a survey. We'll be back on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. Stay tuned for segment 3.
If you're a business owner like me, whether you own a small shop or a large corporation, when it comes to building a new facility, you know it, the process can be overwhelming. And if you're concerned about getting the building you need on a limited budget, you call Anthem Steel for a pre-engineered steel building. Look around and you'll see that more and more businesses, churches, and schools are using steel buildings to save time and money. For as little as $20,000, you can buy a 40 by 60 foot building from Anthem Steel. Anthem Steel has a high quality solution for almost any size building you need, churches, schools, or gymnasiums. So call us right now for a free quote. 800-603-9978. That's 800-603-9978. Even for manufacturing, warehousing, or retail buildings, you know it. You can call Anthem Steel right now for a free quote. 800-603-9978. That's 800-603-9978.
When did men lose their way? Was it Hollywood portraying us as wimps? Is it the daytime serials where we're on our hands and knees begging for affection from women? Is it all the talk shows telling us women want a sensitive guy or a macho man? Well, guy, how does it feel to spend $200 on a couple of dates and never hear from the girl again? Doc Loves the System can change all that. 35-plus years of Doc Loves life has been devoted to a simple question posed to over 10,000 women. Why do you choose to stay with one guy versus another? Doc Loves the System is a realistic approach to dating written just for men. Visit DocLove.com today. That's DocLove.com today for more about the system. It's time to reclaim your manhood. DocLove.com. The system will change your life.
We all need to work on a healthier lifestyle. The stresses of the day take their toll. And if we lack a healthy plan and activities, it's even harder to be fit. To make it easier for you to maintain a healthy lifestyle and reach fitness goals, Better Bodies by Chemistry and the Gina Aliotti Fitness Network have joined together to work for you. Better Bodies by Chemistry is here to provide vitamins and supplements to support and improve your health at a great value. And Gina Aliotti's Fitness Network provides the tools and a fitness environment where women can inspire each other to reach goals. With their help, you can achieve a healthy lifestyle that is realistic, no matter what your life encompasses. Joining the Gina Aliotti Fitness Network assures that you will never be alone in your fitness journey. And with Better Bodies by Chemistry's products, you are assured of the finest quality at a great price. Learn more at GinaAliotti.com and BetterBodiesByChemistry.com. That's GinaAliotti.com and BetterBodiesByChemistry.com.